The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Jayabhataka Swami on June 12, 1985 at Bhaktivedanta Manor in England. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th Canto, Chapter 1, Verse 22.
Akshay Kaitavai Chorai Garhitan.
It's not written down anywhere.
Bandyakshay Kaitavaischaryai Bandyakshay Kaitavaischaryai Garhitan Vitimastita Garhitang vitinastita, vibhrat kutumban asuchir, yatayam asadehina.
Translation by His Divine Grace, Abhayacharan Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
This fallen brahmana,
Ajamila,
gave trouble to others by arresting them,
by cheating them in gambling,
or by directly plundering them. This was the way he earned his livelihood and maintained his wife and children.
Translation of repetition.
This fallen brahmana,
Ajamila,
gave trouble to others by arresting them,
by cheating them
in gambling,
or by directly plundering them.
This was the way he earned his livelihood and maintained his wife and children. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This verse indicates how degraded one becomes simply by indulging in illicit sex with a prostitute. Illicit sex is not possible with a chaste or aristocratic woman, but only with unchaste sudras. The more society allows prostitution and illicit sex, the more impetus it gives to cheaters, thieves, plunderers, drunkards, and gamblers. Therefore, we first advise all disciples in our Krishna consciousness movement to avoid illicit sex, which is the beginning of all abominable life and which is followed by meat eating, gambling, and intoxication one after another. Of course, restraint is very difficult, but it is quite possible if one fully surrenders to Krishna, since all these abominable habits gradually become distasteful for a Krishna conscious person. If illicit sex is allowed to increase in a society, however, the entire society will be condemned, for it will be full of rogues, thieves, cheaters, and so forth. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purport and translation of text 22, chapter 1, canto 6 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and the chapter entitled The History of the Life of Ajamila.
So Ajamila started out his life as a Brahmin. Had a
chaste
wife,
after performing brahmacharya, he's married,
he was
well-situated. But by becoming attracted to a loose woman, leaving his own wedded wife, he lived with this prostitute, this loose woman, and as a result, all his good qualities were lost, to the extent that he became kind of gangster, where he was plundering people, cheating people, and doing all kinds of sinful activity, simply for bringing money home to this woman, abandoning his own. So this happened, of course, even thousands of years ago. Today it's happening regularly. Therefore, in society, there's so much disturbance. So many divorces, so many problems in the family, which is creating socially so many problems. The government doesn't know how to cope with it. The solution is actually Krishna consciousness. Is that people have to become more, have to be directed towards self-realization. If they develop a taste for Krishna conscious activities, then only will they have the strength, will they have the presence to be able to withstand the natural allurements that normally steal the mind away. Instead, today, any kind of self-imposed austerity is considered to be harmful against one's nature. One is told by the great psychologists and so on that one should always follow one's urges, not restrict oneself. In fact, there are even some so-called Bhagavans, not our beloved Bhagavan, but some so-called Bhagavans, so-called incarnation bogus gurus, who they were also saying the same thing, that everyone should follow their impulse, until in his ashram there was a huge outbreak of venereal diseases and things like that. So now we had to, with the spread of AIDS and herpes and all these things, he's had to change his tune after he got cancer of the throat. So these are the problems that come up. But even if one wants to follow one's urges or just do whatever one senses ask one to do, the material nature simply sets one up to be more ferociously kicked. So they get it from all the different directions. Actually, what Srila Prabhupada has given, the simple formula, is the solution to this social problem. All the other mechanical, material solutions they're trying to give will be ineffective. What's amazing is that the parallel between here, Ajamil, who was one rare soul, and then we had in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, we had Jagai and Madai, who had basically the same philosophy. They were born in Brahmin family. They were born as in Navadvip. They had every opportunity to achieve self-realization. But instead, they went on this same path, robbing people, raping people, taking their money, through all means of cheating, drinking, prostitution. They were into everything. They were 500 years ago. The two of them had become fallen just as Ajamil had fallen. Although they were not attached to one particular woman, they had were very loose in that regard. But somehow or another, Ajamil, he had to wait till the time he was dying. Somehow he remembered the name Krishna, he chanted, and he was delivered. Jagai Madai, they didn't have that culture, although they were born in a Brahmin family. There wasn't any visible hope of them remembering the name of Krishna. But instead, by the causeless mercy of Lord Nityananda, he went to them and begged them to chant. Even though he was beaten by them, he continued to implore them to take up the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So, as a case to cite, Jagai Madai eventually followed his instruction within a few moments. They took initiation, went down to the Ganges, bathed, came back, took initiation. And they began to seriously chant. And when they chanted, they developed this higher taste. And they were able to maintain the rules and regulations of Krishna consciousness their entire life. Very strictly. Of course, Madai, he was haunted by the, once he, you can imagine you become a devotee. And he's haunted by the idea that he had actually struck Lord Nityananda. You can imagine that some person on Harinam or something beat, you know, threw something and hit the guru on the head, and later on he surrendered and became a devotee. And this would be on their mind that I committed this offense to the guru. It's a natural thing. So he approached. One day Lord Nityananda fell at his feet and said that you have to forgive me. I've already forgiven you. No, but I've offended you. I've struck you on the head. You must give your forgiveness to me. He says, I never took any offense. How can I forgive you? I took you just like my small child. It's like the mother holds the baby on the lap, and sometimes the baby's hitting the mother, kicking, or on the, while on the back, a little infant. So the parent doesn't think that this is anything. This is not hitting. This is. So Lord Nityananda was saying like that, that actually I just took it that you are my small child and I never took any offense. So then Madai was still feeling dissatisfied. So then he said, well, but I've committed so many offenses to living entities. I've beaten people and I've robbed from them. I even murdered people. I've created so much fear and anxiety in the minds of the people of living entities. How will I get purified for all my offenses to the Dham Vasis, to the residents of the Holy Dham? And then Nityananda said, because the sins were already recorded that when Lord Chaitanya delivered their sinful reactions, their karmas, those were immediately wiped away. But he had all those aparans and so many Vaishnavas. In fact, when Lord Jamaraj heard
about the mercy of Nitya Gaur on Jagat Madai, he was so ecstatic by the causeless mercy, he fell unconscious. He completely went in trance. All the people in the Yamaloka, they thought that Yamaraj had gone unconscious because it was just a shock that these two sinful people, they had so much record on them. It was like the district attorney or the public prosecutor who has so much, he's just ready to swoop down, and before he knows it, the government pardons the person. They thought that he had gone into shock. They've been working on years and years, keeping track of every activity. They were just ready to get Jagai and Madai. But actually it was because of his ecstasy. In fact, no one could bring Yamaraj back to consciousness until Lord Shiva and Narada Muni came by. Lord Shiva, rather, and I forget who was with him. And they started a big kirtan, and that revived Jamaraj. But you know, there's a difference between karma and between aparad. So his karma was wiped away. You can have your karma cleansed away very easily by chanting Hare Krishna, by surrendering to Krishna. But the offenses, those are on the spiritual platform. So those remain perpetually until one takes some spiritual regress. Just like there's the famous history how when Lord Chaitanya was giving everyone mercy, giving them love for Godhead, someone said, please give your mercy to your mother, Sachi. He said, no, I can't give her. She cannot have love for Godhead. He said, what? Your mother? She's the greatest devotee. She's always serving you. She's always thinking about you. She's doing devotional service 24 hours a day. But she cannot have love for Godhead. Lord Chaitanya said. The devotees went wild, and if she can't, how? They started fasting and crying. They became in such anxiety that how Mother Sachi, what is the reason? What has she done? She is a Vaishnava aparadhi. She's offended a Vaishnava. So it's a big thing. I mean, everyone, they began, Mother Sachi, what offense could she have committed? She's faultless. In every respect, Lord Chaitanya said, no, she's offended a devotee. So this, everyone is totally disturbed by this there. They became so preoccupied that, so eventually they were able to get Lord Chaitanya to say that what offense did Mother Sachi do? So, of course, Mother Sachi eventually got forgiven for her grave offense. But the example was given that even if you're the mother of God, unless you're forgiven for a Vaishnava aparad, that you cannot get pure love for Godhead. So Jagai Madai, especially Madai, especially, he was the one that... He was in real anxiety. He'd committed offenses on Lord Nityananda, on countless residents of the Holy Dham. So he was thinking, chanting Hare Krishna, I've been absolved, but how am I going to, I'm never going to get love for Godhead. He wasn't even worried so much in that sense. He was worried in that sense, but just the fact that he had committed so many offenses, he was thinking how to correct that. So then Lord Nityananda told him, well, there's a way you can correct that. And Lord Nityananda's causeless mercy, he gave a means to Madhai. He told him that you should build here a bathing ghat for all the residents of the Holy Dham. And by their coming and using the bathing ghat, you know, bathing ghats, the steps and things going down into the, it's like a,
into the Ganges, though, right into the Ganges, right on the, because that time the Ganges was going right by the birthplace. So they build steps and piers and things going right down into the Ganges. So Lord Nityananda said, you build for them the bathing ghat. And you know, remember Jagai Madai, they used to just go to the public bathing ghat and stand on the top and tell the little old ladies and the innocent people, get out. This is our ghat. They were real hoodlums, real gundas. People just yell, run. Because they could do anything. They were so... They would particularly just purposely go and offend the brahmanas, offend their guru, offend their mother, offend any... They'd like study as Brahma. They knew what was the worst sinful activity, most offensive thing you can do. They go and do that. You know, an ordinary, you know, I mean, they knew from their childhood that these were the offensive thing. They'd purposely go and commit those acts. So, Mahada, he was in real anxiety once he came back to his consciousness. So when he got this opportunity from Lord Nityananda that I can build a bathing ghat and I could possibly be forgiven by all these Vaishnavas and be purified in this way, allowing people to go and bathe in the Ganges in the holy dam of Navadvip. So with his own hands, he took implements and he started cutting with his own hand this huge bathing area, putting down stones, cutting and constructing with mortar. With his own hands, it took him a considerable amount of time to build a very large bathing place for all of the people of Navadvip. And that became famous as Madai Ghat. Different from the Jagai Madai Ghat that they had forcibly taken. This was Madai Ghat which he made. There are five principal ghats, Borokono Ghat, and one of them was Madai Ghat, which he constructed. So then the people, they were very happy to go and use the Madai Ghat. It became very famous. And in this way, Madai became absolved of his offenses. With the mercy of Nityananda gave him that opportunity. So it's important to see the how this offense and karma, these two different areas are going on side by side. The Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya, what their special feature, their special characteristic is they don't take offense. In fact, in the purports to the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada explains how by chanting Nitai Gaur, even some apasampradayas, some non-bona fide groups, able to get some feelings of love for Krishna, at least momentarily, just by chanting the names of Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda. Because they don't take any offense. If you chant the name Krishna with offenses, you can chant for millions and thousands of births without getting love for Krishna. But by chanting the name Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda, then one can easily become absolved of their offenses. So of course, we don't want to be like Hati Snan, like elephant bath. In Mayapur now we have our four or five elephants. When they take a bath, they go out and they take all the dirt and they start throwing it over their body. That's the nature of the elephant. So, we don't want to chant Lord Chaitanya's name and then go again and commit offenses. We want to be like Jagai Madai were after they were delivered. They were very conscientious. They were very careful to avoid any further sinful activity, to avoid any offenses, to try to correct any offenses they may have committed. They were very careful to defend and protect and nourish and care for their devotional creeper. We are the custodian of the devotional creeper which is given by the spiritual master at the time of initiation. We should protect it and we should see that it is not run over by any mad elephants or overrun by any weeds growing on the side of it. We should water it regularly. This is our responsibility. So, because Ajamil, somehow, it doesn't mention, he actually hadn't committed any offenses. He had committed a lot of sinful activity, but he hadn't committed offenses on any Vaishnavas by his good fortune. Doesn't mention that. So when he chanted the name Narayana, it was actually offenseless. He was sinful, but he was not offensive. He was just in total maya at that time. But when he chanted and became back to his Krishna consciousness, all of those karmic reactions were washed away. Nitai go premanandi hari hari bo. So, just as we say, O pavitro pavitro va sarva vastang gatopi jas marit pundarik aksham sa bhaya bhyantanam suchi. Shri Vishnu, Shri Vishnu, Shri Vishnu. By chanting the name of Vishnu, one becomes totally purified within and without. So the solution to purify society, to purify individually, is start chanting these holy names. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And to induce people to precede that by chanting Lord Chaitanya's names. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadharo Shri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Is there time for questions? I wondered if anyone would ask. I was just seeing if you were interested. Lord Chaitanya said that Mother Sachi had committed an offense against Advaita Gosai. The devotee said, what offense could she commit against Advaita Gosai? She says, well, when my older brother Viswarup, he used to always go and listen to Advaita Goswami's Bhagavatam classes. That helped to make him very spiritually strong. And parents were always afraid he was going to take sannyas. Apparently this is a big fear that they don't want in India, they don't want the children to take sannyas and become civilly dead, spiritually liberated. It's because of their attachment to their children. It's kind of natural. So, but although material. So she would send Lord Chaitanya to go get Visarup and tell him to come back. And Lord Chaitanya, when he went to the Bhagavatam, well, he'd sit there also and listen for some time. So then it would get late. And then Mother Sachi would start to criticize Advaita that, you know, he's preaching Krishna consciousness to our children and misleading them in this way or something like, you know, maybe he'll take sannyas. Or she said some kind of little offensive thing, you know, in a disturbed, of course, how many mothers and fathers have said that nowadays, but she said something on one or two occasions and that went right down in her spiritual account. Criticized pure devotee incarnation, brought in as an avatar. So then, how can she be forgiven of this offense? Well, she can just go and ask Advaita Gosai to forgive her. So they all went together, even Lord Chaitanya went with Mother Sachi, and then she requested Advaita Gosai. Gosai said, what's everybody here for? What's happening? You know, there's Mother Sachi. And they say, well, Mother Sachi says that I've offended you. I want you to forgive me. She says, what? He said, you've offended me? Mother Sachi, he went into offend me? There's no way you could have offended me. And then she started, Mother Suchi is the greatest. He started glorifying Mother Suchi. He went into such ecstasy, glorifying Mother Suchi, her devotion, her enthusiasm, her spontaneity. He went into just like Mother Yasoda, and he went into such ecstasy, he went stunned and boom, he fell down. The Lord Chaitanya, here's your chance, grab him now. He wouldn't let her get, no, you can't touch my feet, he wouldn't let her. You would never offend me. You're great. I am fallen. You're the greatest. Then he started glory. So their mother said she could, no way she could get the dust from Advaita's feet. So when he was stunned, then she went and grabbed the lotus feet and got the dust. Then she was absolved and could get pure love for Godhead. Mother Sachi Ki.